We're very pleased to have two beautiful people, and I mean that, on the show. I know them both, and they both have suffered watching their city, parts of their city burn, not only on local television, but nationwide and worldwide, as the Baltimore disturbances, demonstrations, whatever you choose to call them, some say riots, took place here recently. Now is the time for healing, and now is the time for conversation. Joy Thomas Moore is the president and CEO of JWS Media Consulting. She has worked for years in the nonprofit end of this and E. Casey Foundation. And we're very pleased to have her with us, along with Dan Canzanero, who is a CEO of Gamzee Lithographing Company, producing labels and flexible packaging for food, beverage, and other consumer. The point is, he's been in town and done business there for back since the late 1800s, folks. So, Dan, we heard Joy talk about what the mayor is proposing and others proposing in terms of knowing who did what, and that there should be something constructive coming out of that, because we do know some of these folks. Now, it is true that your business wasn't burned. You weren't burned out, but had you been burned out, would you think that these kids should not be punished beyond doing some kind of, volunteer work? What's your feeling about that?
I guess I don't know enough about who exactly did what to say. I think that Joy's concept of having them do community service and make some restitution is a good one. I think if our particular building had burned down, I just don't know how I would have felt, but clearly I think I would have maybe been more adversarial than seeing it on TV and driving by a CVS on North Avenue. It's difficult for me to say, but I think conceptually the idea of having them do something constructive is far better than, you know, having them go to jail and just promulgate the cycle of difficulty. So I think that is a good idea from my perspective. Again, just on limited knowledge of who did physically what. And maybe one size doesn't fit all in terms of what was that, what the crimes were. I mean, so maybe some people did. Maybe it's appropriate for some people to be punished more severely than that and others not. So it may not be a one-size-fits-all kind of situation. But I think that we didn't get enough positive press on the cleanup and good things that were done after this. And I don't think that the problem is unique to Baltimore. I think all of the cities, major cities, have problems to one degree or another. It's just that with the Freddie Gray situation, we hit the flashpoint here. That could have happened in other cities as well. So I don't think, in answer to your question, Paul, it's uniquely a Baltimore thing. I think there is, to varying degrees, there are varying trust levels between the police and law enforcement officials and the population, and then the police have the difficult job of trying to walk the line of being service to their customers, the population, and then yet maintain and enforce the law. It's an extraordinarily difficult balance, and I certainly understand how that balance can get tipped the wrong way very, very easily, and I don't envy any the officers on the street, and I don't envy the officials either. They have to keep work really hard at it, and I just think it's an extraordinary challenge.
Does the city have the right leadership, Joy? And was this a police problem? Can it happen again? Those seem to be glaring questions.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's, you know, like, I have family members who are police officers, and as does the prosecutor, Ms. Mosley. I mean, she comes from a police line, you know, family. And so I think we all probably know officers, and you know that you see them, you know, when everyone else is running away from danger, they're running towards it. And so I think the fundamental problem, not only in our city but in other cities, is that, you know, just like any other military operation, you have to have camaraderie with those people who are in the foxhole with you, those people who are going to have your back. And so that's why this sort of wall of blue has you know, become, that's what it is. And so you don't have police officers saying, even if they see something that was done wrong, they're not going to say it. And I think that's the frustrating thing for everyone else.
Yeah.
Because if, you know, people are told, for example, you know, you have to, if you want crime to be solved in your neighborhood, you have to inform, become an informant, basically, on that person. And but that's not the same rule for officers, and that's the frustration.
I don't want to dance around the issue, and I asked that question before, whether it was black and white issue here, and I mean that. I mean, is underneath the surface? I mean, you both intelligent, beautiful people talking to us about Baltimore, but do you talk to each other?
I think so. Go ahead, Joy. I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying all the time, but go ahead.
I think one of the difficulties when we talk about conversation on this topic, and we've seen it in our factory, because we have black workers and we have white workers, and everybody goes at this thing from just a little bit different perspective. And one of the things that's been difficult for me is that it's actually such a charged issue that the conversations are not necessarily civil about it. And I think until we can get the conversations a little more civil, it's going to be hard to get at the solutions. And I'm an optimistic person fundamentally, and I think that time, as some time passes, maybe some of the emotional charging on both sides of the issue will come down, and we'll be able to figure out what sorts of things we can do to prevent this sort of thing from occurring again in the city.
Okay.
But right now, it's pretty tough.
All right, let me hold you there, because I think it's important. And again, this charge, does this then point to leadership in the city? Are the leaders of Baltimore doing what they should be doing to make this thing, to quell this completely and to make the city move forward? We'll ask that question of my two guests coming up. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. The topic or issue is Baltimore and all of that it brings to your mind. And my guests are Joy Thomas-Moore, a nonprofit specialist, media consulting, many years with the Annie E. Casey Foundation based in Baltimore. And that's the nonprofit side. Dan Canizaro represents the profit side. He has a business there, a big business. He employs 160 people or more. Been in town since the late 1800s and is invested in the city. They are talking about where we go from here in Baltimore. And I ask if do you talk to each other? And Dan, you had made your point. And Joy, I think I heard you sound like you had something you wanted to add.
Yeah, well, I think that's been the real problem in America, that we don't talk enough about race, that we don't sort of feel comfortable talking to each other. And I think it was either Desmond Tutu or President Mandela who said that, you know, until the United States does that, we will always have an issue. I mean, I make it a point, my friend, we talk all the time about it, and now to the point where you're comfortable, and you say what's right, what's wrong, it's no longer black or white, it's right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we don't, race matters. One of the things I did at the Casey Foundation was to find documentaries and film and media products that help people do that. There are all kinds of programs out there that as part of this healing process, you know, making a conscious effort to really talk about it. And because I think one of the real frustrations that that people are feeling is that, you know, because so many of the policemen don't live in the city, they don't see their constituents, their clients, their customers, as family.
Mm.
And you treat family differently than you treat random people.
Do either of you believe that this federal investigation, the Justice Department, will start to cure that?
Well, I think it will bring some things to light. I don't know if it, if bringing it to light is will be part of the healing process, then I think it's a great thing to, you know, that if you can have data, if you have, you know, all those things that that sort of validate you or disprove you, well, you know, whatever, you know, you're thinking, then I think it's a good thing to, because it's not been done here.
No.
I think a third-party input is always helpful, particularly if the finding ends up not being a popular one. I think it actually helps the city officials to say, look, this was ratified or, you know, as Joy said, validated by a third party. I think that the disagreements and are severe enough that a third party is very helpful.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think you're right. All that, that'll work itself out. But what I will ask you both about is leadership, because you are prominent members of this community who need to be together and talk. But what about the leadership? Does the leadership in Baltimore, and I'm including the mayor and the city council and others, did they contribute to the solution or to the problem during these last few weeks? How do you feel about it? That's what I want to.
What I personally loved was that there was a new kind of leadership that emerged. For the clergy, the faith community really stepped up. You know, I don't think City Hall can do it alone. They can't do it alone. I mean, they're just like you know, that the parents have to be out there. Mm-hmm. The men. I mean, when you had walls of people creating a barrier between, you know, kids who are out of control and the police, that's leadership. Mm-hmm. So I think what we had, it was folks stepped up that did not step up before, who have not been stepping up. And I think that, you know, bringing this new leadership sense of ownership of the city was one of the most important outcomes of the disturbances.
Dan, did you see it that way? How did you see it?
Well, I think from my perspective, I'd like to reserve my feelings about the leadership until I know more about what actually happened, because I think that that will affect my thinking about the course of action that they took. I just don't think I know enough at this point to say, to second guess the leadership. I'd rather let the investigation play out. Mm-hmm. See where that comes up with, and then sit down and say, well, maybe the leadership should have looked at it another way. I just don't think any of us know enough to second guess what the leadership of the city did yet. That's my perspective.
You're being very careful here, but I can hear in what you're saying that you have some concerns. And rightfully so. And if you don't, if this is not the forum to share, I'm going to understand it. But I think the fact that you do have concerns is something that people should understand and appreciate, because you do have them as a city leader, as a business leader. I mean, that impacts your bottom line sooner or later.
And this kind of thing is never a positive, but we've got to work hard to overcome it. It's not a fatal thing either. It's right. Like any other adverse thing that happens in business, and you have to be able to be resilient and snap back. And I just very reluctant to second guess.
Understood.
Until I know a little bit more, and then I think I can reflect on it and say, gee, it might have been better to have this approach.
That's what makes you an effective businessman. You're a smart man. You understand what it takes, and information is keen. We're talking with Joy Moore and with Dan Canisero. When we come back, we'll kind of wrap things up. I hope you've enjoyed it. I certainly have the discussion from these two prominent people who care about a city and who have to look toward the future, because it's important for all of us to survive. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. We'll be right back. This is Home and Family Finance. Again, your host, Paul Berry, along with my guest, Dan Canzanero, chief executive officer of a major company in Baltimore, and Joy Moore, who worked in a nonprofit and still does industry in the city, and has made a positive difference. What happened in Baltimore has not happened in your town, and maybe it won't, or maybe something has happened, whether it's Ferguson or New York or somewhere where people are demonstrating. The important thing is, as I think you've heard here, is that conversation, people have to talk about what happens to people. People have to talk about where they live. They have to talk to each other. I can't blame, certainly, the fact that Joy and Dan have never met each other, because there's a whole ton of people. But they should know each other. What I mean, people like that should know. I think. Don't you think that the solution to what we're facing in Baltimore and other cities is going to come out of discussions, out of conversations between good people like yourselves?
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, if people make, I think that is definitely a step. We must talk, but we also must, you know, somehow really address this whole issue of the wealth gap between, you know, people of color and you know, and others, and people who are at the top cannot sort of keep all the money up at the top and not have any of that, you know, be realized by a struggling middle class. Hmm. So I think there are all kinds of money issues involved in it. Yeah, we need to talk, but we also need action.
The key to this thing is the reindustrialization of Baltimore in a new way, and I think it can happen. I see companies that are making robotics. I see companies that are making microprocessors. We're making labels. As we changed from a steel and automobile town with Beth Steel and with GM to more of a mid-sized business town like we are, we're having to re-educate the workforce, and I think we had kind of a dip in the industrial activity here in the U.S. for a while, and now we've got a resurgence with technology, with mm-hmm. good workers. We have seen some improvements in education, and the biggest thing is low energy costs. So I think what part of the key is we need these industrial jobs, these 15 to $25 and $30 an hour jobs. I think that's going to get these folks moving. Perhaps they won't be in a category of a Hopkins physician or a hedge fund trader. We're always going to have some people there at the very, very top. But I think we can strengthen that middle income group and move them from lower paid service workers to much, much higher paid industrial workers who also have health care and better benefits. And we think we play a role in doing that, and mm-hmm. we think some other mid-sized industrial companies play a role in doing that. And mm-hmm. I think if we can have a environment to foster those kind of jobs, I think we can get we can put a dent in this. I don't think we can fix it completely, Joy, but I think we can put a dent in it.
I totally agree, Dan. I totally agree. You know, it is the training, it's the education, and it's the commitment of people like you and others who say this is our future. We have to you know, work together in order to come to a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's not just Baltimore; it is all over the country.
And you both feel good about the future of Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
I do. I feel very good about the future of Baltimore. I think we have a what I would call a mid-cost structure. It's not high like Chicago or New York. It may not be low like along the Mexican border. But it's a good middle-cost structure, and we're in a great market. We have great arts and culture. Mm-hmm. I think we have a lot to offer in this town.
Joy?
Absolutely.
I'll leave the last word to you. Go ahead.
Well, I am, you know, I think this is something that we have to overcome as a city, and I think that we are, for the first time in a long time, really primed to do that, to do the work involved in getting us to where we really need to be.
Wonderful stuff. Dan, Joy, I can't thank you enough. I know both of you are busy, but you think enough about your city that you take time to join us for the hour and to share your thoughts. Thank you so much. I'd like to move forward for a few months and maybe get to come back and see how things are and have you back again. Would you come back?
Absolutely.
Dan,
absolutely.
That would be great.
Meantime,
we're
going to enjoy. What a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. God bless you both. Thanks for being with us. This is Home and Family Finance. What a pleasure to have you with us, too, audience. I hope you learned something. You're always welcome to make your contribution. We'll talk to you next week.